will probably take the bills in the order in which they're listed in full committee. And I want to note that on 2306, it appears that we probably won't be taking final action on that bill today, but I do want to allow some opportunity, depending on how much time we have available, for some testimony before full committee, which is kind of an exception to our general rule, but I know there are several folks who felt that perhaps they hadn't had an opportunity to fully express themselves in the subcommittee, and I want to make sure that full committee members have an opportunity to visit some of the issues and some of the concerns before we do bring it up for final action in full committee. I'd like to go ahead and proceed first with House Joint Memorial 16. Members may recall that this matter was previously moved to the floor. I believe it was a unanimous vote with one excused. The carrier of the bill, Majority Leader Gold, responding to a request from one of our members, did re-refer the measure to our committee in order that we might consider amendments, if any, which one of the members had indicated an interest in discussing with us. This has been posted, I think, in our calendar for several days now, and Council, are you aware of any amendments that have been brought to this committee or discussed or had any conversations?
No, I'm not. I've not had any contact with anyone.
The Chair has not had any conversation, nor is the Chair aware of any proposed amendments. And if there's a motion at this time, the Chair would be prepared to accept it in terms
Chair.
Of Representative Dix.
I move House Joint Memorial 16 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dix has moved House Joint Memorial 16 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burton.
I guess I'm bothered more by the staff measure analysis than I am by the memorial itself, which I would appear to have some objectivity to it, but the measure analysis would appear to indicate that there is on the part of one of the parties involved in that dispute over there a greater degree of creating the problem than perhaps someone else. I know we pass memorials and they go off to Congress and everybody wonders where they go. I was one of those that was. I apologize because I wasn't in the committee at the previous. Hearing on this, I would assume that there was some reason why we're asked to do this. It somewhat escapes me as to why. We do get involved in questions. I realize, and I'm a person that's taken that position on issues involving certain Central American countries. That's because the National Guard in this country may be placed in a position to do that. I don't know if we have any of our Oregon National Guard committed to do this. I'm just questioning the reason for going forward to this memorial again. I think there was an indication that there were differing views on this in the House already, which is one of the reasons it came back to the committee, and I'm surprised that we're bringing it out again, and I intend to vote against it.
Well, if that's the case, Representative Dix, would you like to hold your motion at this time or like to proceed with a vote? Or would you like to stand at ease and confer briefly with Representative Bellamy.
Confer briefly with Representative Bellamy, if I might.
Why?
Representative Bellamy has a problem with all memorials. So, and I had forgotten that.
That's true.
Perhaps a three-minute, I would like to request a three-minute recess of the committee at this point.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy. Okay, it will be in recess for 3 minutes.
Dick, have you guys been...
...recommendation and requested a short recess in order to confirm... we attempted once again to locate Representative McCarty, who had expressed some concern and perhaps a desire to propose amendments. To our knowledge, no amendments have been proposed. And at this point, Representative Dixie wishes to proceed with your motion. Is that correct?
That's correct. I also would, I don't know, is there such a thing as a call of the committee? I'd like all members present for the vote if that's possible. I don't know if there's a procedure.
They're here. We got everybody. HJM 16. Is there further discussion on the motion to the floor do pass?
Yes, Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I agree with Representative Burton that perhaps the staff measure analysis may not exactly reflect the bill. However, I'm voting in favor of the bill the way it's printed rather than the staff measure analysis. And that's what I'm trying to concentrate on.
I'm sure our staff has taken note of our discussion and that the analysis will be redrafted to reflect some of those concerns, and as members are certainly aware, the analysis is intended for information only and has not been adopted, nor does it officially represent any endorsement of it by action of the committee. Is there further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
No.
Bellamy?
No.
Gunn?
No.
Burton?
No.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Are there any volunteers to carry this?
I'll carry it.
Representative Dix? Thank you. Okay, 2306, as I indicated earlier, though we don't anticipate formal action on that measure today, we're going to allow some opportunity for testimony. However, I'd like to carry that to the bottom of our full committee agenda in order that we can take action on the matters which have been posted. So I'd like to move on to 2294, and we'll come back to 2306 in just a few moments, perhaps longer than a few moments. 2294, Council?
2294 raises the witness fees and mileage reimbursement for witnesses in proceedings other than criminal proceedings. It maintains the current level for criminal proceedings.
Okay, and that came to us from Subcommittee?
Subcommittee 3, we adopted the Dash 1 amendment.
Okay, members should have before them, I believe, a copy of the proposed staff measure analysis as well as the amendments. Representative, and those Dash 1 amendments have been adopted in subcommittee?
Yes.
Representative Hanlon?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I voted no in the subcommittee.
You want a motion? I will as soon as I recognize Representative Phillips.
To Council, has anybody looked at this? Last session, I raised the issue that because we don't pay enough for good legal counsel for some of these issues, we end up spending more money on appeal because we're cheap on the front end. Was that issue raised at all with regard to fees? Or never mind, this is witness fees, so it wouldn't have anything to do with how much you pay for experts or any of that kind of stuff.
Experts
and all that.
Experts is a different...
Separate issue?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe so.
Representative Phillips, did that...
That answer, I was not correct in my assumption.
Okay, Representative Hanlon?
I just was going to request that the Chair take the motion from someone other than myself. I voted no in subcommittee on this bill, which relates to witness fees for a simple reason that it would create basically a two-tiered system in our system of courts where people that were involved in non-criminal proceedings were paid more than those involved in criminal proceedings.
Representative Bond.
I would move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Bunn has moved House Bill 2294 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Burton?
No, my question was answered, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, Council, was there any fiscal impact in this to the state?
Yes, that was one of the concerns in the subcommittee. The amendments were drafted to delete the fiscal impact as regards the Indigent Defense Fund. Criminal proceeding, the definition was expanded to include all of those things that would impact on the indigent defense. However, there will still be a fiscal impact because of references throughout the statute to how witnesses are paid, I mean, in administrative proceedings and a variety of proceedings.
Do we have any estimate of what that fiscal impact would be?
We haven't. The only one that we had was one that dealt with the Indigent Defense Fund. There wasn't one as far as all of these other proceedings.
Representative Burton?
Well, I guess, Chair, if I could, it goes back to my question that I thought I had answered. Who pays these fees in civil cases?
Well, it varies. Generally speaking, I mean, if it's private parties, the private parties would pay the fees. But for instance, in a proceeding such as this, legislative committee, if the committee subpoenaed a witness, then the state would indirectly have to pay those higher fees.
And that's what I was wondering, is how could you determine a fiscal impact? I mean, how could you, you couldn't, it would be so indeterminate, I assume, because of the variety of situations. Most of those fees are paid by the parties. Well,
I am kind of reluctant to say most. I would imagine so, but there are so many various proceedings where the state might be involved.
Representative Burton.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, you know, if the question is whether or not this requires a subsequent the ways and means, I guess, and it would appear to me that they wouldn't be able to have an analysis.
Well, let me propose this, if it's satisfactory to members. I will direct counsel to send the amended version down to fiscal, confer with the fiscal analyst to determine if that fiscal impact can be determined with any precision. As I'm sure you know, sometimes we get the fiscal analysis which suggests there may be an impact, but it is indeterminate. I will also, after we receive that, by the time the bill hits the floor in a few days, confer with the co-chair of Ways and Means and inquire of him if he desires to have the bill in Ways and Means Committee. And if it appears that he feels that it ought to go to Ways and Means Committee, then that motion would be available to us on the floor. Would that appear satisfactory? Representative Bellamy.
I should just mention that one of the purposes of the amendments was to try to keep the fiscal impact to a minimum. The subcommittee was cautious about the fiscal impact.
Okay, I appreciate that. Is there further discussion on Representative Bunn's motion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
No.
Hanlins?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Bellamy? Got a perfect record so far.
Sure, why not? I haven't carried a fee bill for a while, have I?
Okay, let's proceed with
2193. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think that came from Criminal Subcommittee and is the joinder bill. This is a bill that was brought to the committee at the request of the District Attorney's Association and the Department of Justice. Quite a bit of work. This bill will allow permissive joinder if the offense charges are in the languages out of the statute that would bear the bill would be the same or similar character or based on the same act or transaction on two or more acts or transactions connected together by or constituting parts of a common scheme plan. It's the bill is similar to the federal joinder rule. It allows prosecutors to charge the defendant in one indictment several related offenses. So if an example that was given, a defendant passed several forged checks, then that person could be indicted and tried in one trial on all forgeries rather than having a separate trial for each offense. The bill would it was felt saved time and money. The number of multiple trials would be reduced. In addition, prosecutors would have considerable leverage in plea negotiations, and this would hopefully reduce further costs. I don't believe there were... Were there any amendments to this, Mr. Chairman? I don't think...
No, Mr. Rose.
I think the bill came out as it is, so... Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2193 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Okay, Rep. St. Burton moves House Bill 2193 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion's adopted. Rep. St. Burton?
Oh.
Okay. 3027. I think that's from sub 3.
No, I don't believe it is.
No, I think this one is ours. Excuse me. I was asking the same question. Sir.
Okay.
That did come out of...
Sub 2?
Sub 2.
Okay.
This bill would require the Oregon State Bar, the Bar Bill, this was brought to us actually by the Clackamas County Coalition for Prevention of Child Abuse, was the requester of this bill. Along was sponsored by Representative Cooley, former Representative Cooley, and it would require the Oregon State Bar 8 Professional Licensing Board to establish a training and continuing education curriculum for identifying, investigating, and interviewing and reporting child abuse. The intent here was that we would help in both ways, training in those people to help for people who are into these counseling or come in contact with potential child abuse situations, to help identify those situations, to one, prevent them from perhaps making some false reports on the one hand, on the other hand, helping them to understand the extent to which those kind of occurrences do happen. The training would therefore help victims, but also would help eliminate false reports. I believe there was some discussion about whether this would have a fiscal impact, and I think it was determined that it would not, that most of this training would be done inside, but it may, does it have a prior approval?
I just got off the phone with the fiscal office, and they told me there is a fiscal impact. They have yet to determine it. So.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, then I would move House Bill 3027 two ways and means.
Due pass?
With a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Rep. St. Burton has moved House Bill 3027 as amended with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee. Rep. St. Phillips.
Mike, I don't have the amendments here in front of us, but the issue of training and continuing education curriculum has been raised. We want training and we want education. The word continuing it raises some question in my mind is, one, whether that's needed. If each year you're going to have to take the same course again, perhaps they'll be able to update it, provide information on new techniques and things of that nature. But this is continuing education might have been used, since that's a normal term when referring to the bar, but we're talking about every other board, and I'm not sure we need that word.
The Representative Phillips, the word continuing education was not one of those words that was amended into the language. I think it was used in the measure analysis as being education that would be beyond what you were required to do, and it's meant that larger sense. So as a one-time, as I understand it, would be a one-time training shot. And Mr. Taylor crafted that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Burton, at least the way I understand continuing education, it's almost a term of art. For a lawyer, it refers to education after he's passed the bar to... As it will soon be mandatory for us.
Okay.
Well,
I understand your concern. Yeah. It's not that you have to do it over and over and over again.
Well, on the original bill, line 7 and line 11, we use continuing education. If it's a term of art and we don't really need to have it in there, then why don't we strike it out?
For the analysis?
No, actually, he's correct on line 7. It's on the bill itself.
Well, let's do, does everyone have a copy of the amendments?
No.
No.
Council? Mayor Copeland, Mr. Chairman, there's no oversight. We do have them in legislative draft form. I thought they were out.
Okay, are they
available?
Yes. Okay, why don't we just stand at ease for a moment and we'll grab those amendments. I think that may resolve some of the discussion we've had.
May I ask a question while we're at it? Representative Burton.
You're right, and I don't know whether striking would make any difference one way or the other. It's kind of education curriculum.
Two separate
lines. It becomes part of some other adjustments. But it's not a large retirement you have to go over. So I don't know if I'm striking or not.
I don't know what you're asking.
But if you're more comfortable, I'll say you can do it.
I prefer
no.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hamline.
Mike, what would this apply then statewide?
Yes. Well, in the sense that it certain licensing boards, if you notice in the bill, it's each professional licensing board of a public or private law enforcement agency, and we need to have the way that that's each professional licensing board of law enforcement agency. So we need to have the amendments here in front of us in order to follow that. But in that sense, statewide, yes.
Of a law enforcement agency or of anybody involved in investigating?
Okay.
Because CSD, I would assume, is not law enforcement, but is somebody involved investigating.
Well, Children's Services Division, and if you look in Section 3, or the professional licensing, well, let's get the amendments, because I'm reading off my amendments and nobody else has it. It's kind of a little confusing. You don't hear it.
Okay. I tell you what, why don't we hold this over? The amendments are coming up from downstairs. And we'll continue this discussion when we've had the chance to review the amendments before us. So we'll bounce over 3027 and proceed on to 2869 and come back to 3027 when the amendments arrive.
So now we're on which one?
2869. Indigent Defense Board.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Let's see. That's a court test.
Okay. 2869, and you should have there in your packet -5 amendments, or -5 amendments, which were adopted. That actually consolidates several other sets of amendments that were proposed to the bill. This deals with Point of Council Engine Defense System, and is basically, this is the bill that would abolish the Engine Defense Board, and its responsibilities would be placed under the State Court Administrator, and it would set up a separate Engine Defense operating account. The account can only be used to pay Engine Defense costs, and no other funds can be used for that purpose. So what we've done is built into this statute a firewall or an impermeable membrane, as people would refer to it as, that would set up that Engine Defense fund as a separate chart of accounts that could not be used for any other purposes nor rated by any other agency for the purposes of spending on anything else. In addition to that, the bill abolishes fee arbitration dispute procedures, requires a judge to certify the amount submitted for payment as being reasonable, requires counsel to submit more detailed affidavit for authorization of expenditures for other expenses other than attorney fees, requires court-appointed counsel for a juvenile if the child is charged with a crime, and require counsel if the child is an adult. There was a great deal of discussion about this bill. There was a great deal of wrenching about this bill, if you would, on the part of the subcommittee on the question of the abolishment of the Engine Defense Board. Before I go further into that discussion, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and move that the committee send House Bill 2869 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Burton has moved House Bill 2869 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Burton?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Committee, one of the Energy Defense Board was established by the 1985 legislature, and from the testimony that we received, we really, we as a body created a much needed agency, but we didn't really give it the kind of resources that it needed to in order to survive adequately. Basically, we set up a board, gave them a staff and a half person telephone, and said, go out and resolve a $42 million problem for us. They did, I think, a Herculean job in trying to do that, which ended up having to spend most of their time just meeting contractual obligations to provide indigent defense to those individuals who needed it. That did not leave them any time to collect the data, establish the kind of databases they needed to make decisions about ways in which they may improve the management of that system, and essentially a lot of that work wasn't done. In the current Ways and Means budget, which was adopted, in a sense what this committee is doing is reacting to what I consider to be a very close call on whether Ways and Means is making decisions in the sense of policy versus whether the substantive committee should be making those decisions. We were given, as a sort of a fait accompli, the fact that the certain actions by the Ways and Means forced us into this position. I would have to, in the final analysis, agree that given the circumstances, that the Indigent Defense Board, and to some extent, to relieve the individuals who were there who have done a tremendous job, but who have, I think, been placed in a rather untenable position due to the inability for this particular, for the legislature to provide those resources, that we should, in fact, at this point, abolish that board. I am a little uncomfortable placing the responsibility for Indigent Defense directly into the Supreme Court. And we have been very careful in crafting the language to state that it is a state court administrator, and while it is obvious knowledge that the court administrator does report to the Chief Justice, we're careful to say that the responsibility was at least with the court administrator, and we did set up a separate account so that that would be held hopefully harmless from any other kind of accounting raids that might be made on that budget. So. It was a painful bill, I think, for some of us to vote for, or some of us not to vote for, because I, in fact, in the final analysis, voted against it at that time, but I will vote for it in this committee, and I would urge all of you to vote for it.
Okay, so for the discussion, Representative Bond.
I'd like to say first that I don't think there's a fine line on the question of whether Ways and Means Committee got into policy issues. I just flat out want to say for the record, absolutely no question in my mind that they did, and this is another example of money setting policy. And that's unfortunate, regardless of the merits of the issue, and I will continue to voice my opposition to that kind of policy occurring. The question I have is, was there consideration that if the Indigent Defense Fund becomes bankrupt in effect, that there will be a greater possibility with the changes that the judicial system will then be told to absorb any additional needs from their budget, as opposed to coming back and looking at all dollars?
What we've done, and I guess let me try to go to the bill, because one of the things that will help with this is in the Dash 5 amendments, and it'll take me a minute to find it, but there is a separate, I think what I've heard, let me put it this way, I'm trying to be tactful, I guess I'm glad that you weren't as tactful or confident about Ways and Means. Essentially what I understand is that by putting this in the state Supreme Court, a court administrator's pocket, with the intent that may have been given by Ways and Means, is that if we go over the limit on the $42 million that was authorized for Indigent Defense, that we would then say the court administrator might come back to the e-board and say we need additional funds, and the response would probably be go find it inside the judiciary's budget. What we have tried to do with this particular bill is draft a requirement to set up an Indigent Defense Fund, which can be a designated fund from which no one can make, once that fund runs out, you can't cross over those lines. I think that'll force the court administrator back to the e-board, and they may say go outside the other fund, but what we're setting the language here is no, you can't there's not, you can't, unless the funds are designated specifically for that fund, you can't use any other funds. So the E-Board would be forced to make that appropriation or find some other means of coming up with the funding.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to request that, unless there's objection, that it be the policy of this committee that we go on record that passage of this bill by this committee in no way indicates our intent that the judicial budget would be looked to any more than any other budget if indigent defense funds ran out.
So noted. Is there further discussion? Representative Hanlon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had trouble with this concept from the very beginning when the state became involved, I believe it was the 1981 session, with the reorganization of the state court system and the indigent defense system and what it's evolved to. To be blunt, I think what we're doing is moving towards a lawsuit where the state court, Mr. Linden reports,